Welcome to the Agency in Focus, Department of Veterans Affairs, sponsored by Lighthouse. Now, here's your host, Tom Temin.
From multi-billion-dollar department-wide financial statements to whether someone falsified data in a regional office, the Inspector's General Office at Veterans Affairs never lacks for work. Joining me with some highlights of recent investigations, Inspector General Michael Missile. Mr. Missile, good to have you back.
Tom, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about the financial audit statements that you reviewed and reviewed what the auditors, the external auditors, had found about VA. And it looks like they're in basically good shape, but there's still work to do.
That's correct. Under the CFO Act of 1990, we're required to audit the financial statements of VA. For the fiscal year 2017 audit, which we recently released, we found six material weaknesses. A material weakness is a deficiency or deficiencies in internal control such that there's a reasonable possibility that a material misstatement would be prevented or detected and corrected on a timely basis. So let me briefly go through the six material weaknesses because I think they're all very important. The first was in compensation, pension, burial, and education actuarial estimates. VA reported a compensation and burial benefits liability of $2.8 trillion on its balance sheet.
Yikes.
As of September 30th, 2017. They also managed several post-education programs of $14 billion in fiscal year 2017. These are obviously huge numbers, and the VA does not have a qualified and permanent chief actuary on site who would take responsibility for these estimates. So that was a material weakness not to have an actuary hired. Another was on community care obligations. Community care obligations are programs where VA gets health care outside of the VA system with providers. VA spent about $10 billion in its program in 2017. Most well-known program probably is the Choice program. There, again, we found problems from transaction obligations, liquidation of unfulfilled authorizations, and reconciliation. Financial reporting was another weakness. VA has a financial reporting system implemented in 1992 that continues to require extensive manipulations, journal entries, and manual processes. It's terribly out of date. Fourth is on loan guarantee liability. VA provides a guarantee to commercial lenders against losses from veterans' mortgages loan default. Again, we found that the liability estimation model has significant differences between the forecast and actual program results. Fifth is the CFO organizational structure. VA does have a CFO. However, each of the components of VA, which is Veterans Health Administration, Veterans Benefits Administration, and the National Cemetery Administration, have their own CFOs who do not report to the VA CFO. Rather, they report into their component head. Again, that's a material weakness. Finally, on IT security controls, VA has many legacy IT systems, which are obsolete, and they have control weaknesses throughout. So while we did see some improvements from our 2016 audit, VA still has a lot of work to do to eliminate these material weaknesses.
I guess the question is why the managers of these programs, suppose you know this, somebody knew that there's an actuarial liability of $2.8 trillion, which is just a flooring number. They'll never be able to pay that. But nobody thought we need an actuary here.
Well, they have somebody in an acting position. They've been actively trying to recruit somebody, but they've been unsuccessful. I know it's a priority for VA, and hopefully they'll have somebody hired soon.
We're speaking with VA Inspector General Michael Missile. What does the VA, the various components that are responsible for these material weaknesses, what have been their answers to you?
Well, what they say is this: the way it's been historically. For the past number of years, we've raised this as a material weakness, saying that you need to have better coordination, consolidation within your CFO structure, which includes reporting up to the CFO so that guidance and other directives can be implemented effectively. And to date, they just haven't accepted this recommendation.
Wow. So the findings on the community care program, of which you mentioned, a big component is Choice. With that being such a signature effort, and something that Congress is deeply interested and invested in, and something that the last couple of secretaries have really put their shoulder behind. It is surprising that there is not better financial control over that whole situation.
It is. It should be recognized that the choice was implemented in a very short period of time in 2014. So I know VA is got this as a priority and working hard on it.
Okay, and there's a theme between the financial reporting system and the IT security, and that is modernization of, I guess, old code systems that date back 20, 25 years. And there was a really strong effort in the last couple of years of the Obama administration to get after that modernization with the CIO that was in place at that time. Do you get the sense that that is being picked up, that that ball is being kicked further down the field?
Yes, I think they do understand the significance of the deficiencies. Secretary Shulkin has stated earlier this year that he would like to use more outside assistance to modernize the IT programs at VA. And we're watching very carefully to see if that will be successful. They have one big IT system that's getting a lot of attention these days, which is a new electronic health record system that will be better and more compatible with what the Department of Defense has. And so that's a very expensive system, and again, we're watching that very carefully.
Well, that's like really two moving projectiles, because the Defense Department barely has it in place at all. It's only in one location. So that's a moving target, and then VA trying to match it. It seems like somebody's throwing up one soccer ball and someone else is throwing up another one and hope they converge.
It's going to be a great challenge, and that's why we are being proactive on this and getting involved at an early stage.
And related to the difficulty in the financial systems is the Data Act, which every agency is required to do to report their financial data in a machine-readable way that is common across the government. And most agencies have not gotten very good scores on that implementation, including VA. What did you find on that one?
That's correct, and it really is related to the issues we found in our financial statement audit. So as you pointed out, the Data Act, which stands for Digital Accountability and Transparency Act, was enacted in 2014, and it was supposed to make federal spending data more accessible, searchable, and reliable. The Data Act requires all IGs of each agency to review a statistically valid sample of spending data submitted by its agency and to submit to Congress a publicly available report assessing the completeness, timeliness, quality, and accuracy of the data sampled. So what we did is we contracted with an independent certified public accounting firm to perform this audit assessing VA's compliance with the Data Act. What our audit found was that VA did not fully comply with the Data Act due to weaknesses in VA's existing financial management system, as I previously noted with the financial statements, and its internal controls related to source systems, data management, and data reporting processes. So as a result, VA did not submit complete, timely, quality, and accurate financial and award data to the database for the fiscal year 2017 second quarter. VA certainly faces significant challenges in implementing the Data Act. We know that it's, again, a focus. We've made recommendations, and they've accepted those recommendations.
Michael Missel is Inspector General of the Veterans Affairs Department. In part two of the interview, we'll discuss the VA's opioid addiction fighting activities, among other topics. Find links to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One. I'm Tom Temin.
Leidos is proud to support the VA and its mission to care for Americans' veterans. Leidos is committed to advancing the next generation of healthcare at the VA through outcome-based solutions and scalable IT. We strive for better access to care and improved health outcomes for our men and women who served. Leidos was recently named Washington Technology's number one government contractor in IT, systems integration, professional services, and telecommunications. For nearly 50 years, we have developed practical answers for a complicated world. To learn more, visit leidos.com.
For the Veterans Affairs Department's Inspector General Office, there's never a shortage of things to investigate. In part two of my interview, IG Michael Missel describes a shortfall of opioid treatment protocols in Baltimore, resolution of bad conditions at the D.C. Medical Center, and whether VA doctors are overworked. Missel says many of the investigations are the result of a very active whistleblower community connected to Veterans Affairs.
We get 40,000 contacts to our hotline a year. A number of them are whistleblowers, and we greatly appreciate the assistance and information that they provide to us. It's extraordinarily helpful.
And I just had a quick question on one of the whistleblower cases from earlier this year, and that was the Washington, D.C. Medical Center, where you found you had an emergency report about horrible conditions there. Has that been cleaned up pretty much?
We are in the process of finishing up our final review of that. We'll be issuing that report in the near term, and that will detail the findings that we made. As you pointed out, we issued an interim report earlier this year. But then we have now completed our inspection and we'll be issuing a report shortly.
And moving on to the issue of something close to the ground, but maybe it's a barometer of larger issues, hard to tell yet. But in Roanoke, Virginia, there was data manipulation, and this goes back a couple of years now, the allegations of data manipulation regarding appeals and appeal records and so forth to decisions made on disability.
So if a veteran disagrees with a benefit determination, such as a disagreement with the evaluation assigned for a disability, that veteran can appeal. VA has 56 regional offices that make benefit determinations. We received an anonymous complaint that one of the regional offices, this one in Roanoke, Virginia, was inflating completion rates of appeals by entering incorrect information into the system. We conducted an audit, and we substantiated that the Roanoke Regional Office improperly closed appeal records. So what our audit estimated was that 84% of closed appeal records from December 21st, 2015 to December 30th, 2016 were improperly closed. Every time an issue is raised by a veteran concerning an appeal, and most of the appeals have multiple issues, it becomes a separate record. And what the Roanoke Regional Office did was they took the most recent appeal records and merged it with the older appeal records to make it seem that the newer records had been closed out. And this gave the false impression that the appeals inventory had actually decreased. And it was a metric used to determine bonuses for the staff in the regional office. We don't believe that this adversely impacted veterans, as all issues were consolidated. However, it did impair VA's ability to monitor and manage appeal records. We also were told that given the situation, no bonuses were paid as a result, and we made a number of recommendations to review the prematurely closed reviews to see if any action was needed and review whether any person should be disciplined and held accountable.
Well, does this mean that the people that decide on records or decide on the cases themselves were actually still working on the cases but only made them seem as if they were closed to meet some metric for performance?
That's correct. So what they would do is if there were, you know, four issues with a particular appeal, they may close out three of them and then put those issues into the first one there. So it does look like they actually closed far more than they actually did. Which made their performance look much better, but actually it could delay things, and it also didn't give the supervisors the ability to conduct proper oversight.
And is there any evidence that this might be a systemic thing across the nation, because they do have that gigantic disability decision backlog?
We have not seen that, and hopefully all the regional offices will have read our report very carefully. And the leaders of those regional offices will do their own assessment whether or not they have the same issue. And if they did, the expectation is that they would fix it immediately.
Because my question, I guess, is really aimed at the possibility that the backlog reported nationally on these cases, could it even be larger if, you know, a couple of hundred here and a couple of hundred there were improperly made to appear as if they're closed?
We haven't yet seen any evidence. We recently issued this report, and what typically happens when we put out a report, if there are other issues, that other VA employees will contact us to say that they have the same issue in their particular facility, And obviously, if that happens, we will move very aggressively to address it.
And zooming out to some agency-wide issues, you have a report, too, recently on primary care panels. And this gets to the idea of managing care in a more contemporary way across VA, where you have, you know, a primary position, a physician for each veteran and a panel so that all the different disciplines that might be coming to bear on a given individual can coordinate and know, you know, the left hand knows what the right hand is doing. What did you find about the primary care panels?
Correct. So in fiscal year 2018, VA had approximately 5,500 full-time equivalent primary care providers serving about 5.3 million veterans, or about 971 veterans for every full-time equivalent provider. VA's primary care system strives to balance efficiency with quality access and patient services. And to do this, what VA does is assign a panel of veterans to each primary care provider. The provider is responsible for providing primary care access and coordinated care for each veteran on their panel. VA uses a model to set panel sizes, and it typically is between 1,000 to 1,400 veterans per panel. We look to see if VA manage primary care panels effectively and efficiently, and whether veterans receive timely access to primary care services. On managing access, we found VA did not effectively manage provider panelists to maximum access. Although VA claimed only 8% of newly enrolled veterans in the first 7 months of fiscal year 2015 waited more than 30 days, which is VA's goal, we found that the number was not accurate. VA's time period did not include the time it took to enroll a veteran, which was an average of 29 days. So what VA did is they took the number from once a veteran was enrolled to when they had the appointment. We thought that was not appropriate because if it's newly enrolled, the time really should start from when a veteran tries to get in the system. So when adding in the enrollment time, instead of 8% waiting more than 30 days, which VA said the number was, we determined it was actually 53% of newly enrolled veterans waited more than 30 days.
That's almost an order of magnitude difference.
It's a huge difference, and it really is related to when you start the clock. And we thought it was appropriate if it's a newly enrolled veteran, the clock should start when the veteran tries to get in the system, not when they're already in the system, which we found took an average of 29 days. And so that should be included in the time.
Michael Missel is Inspector General of the Veterans Affairs Department. I'm Tom Temin.
Leidos is proud to support the VA and its mission to care for Americans' veterans. Leidos is committed to advancing the next generation of healthcare at the VA through outcome-based solutions and scalable IT. We strive for better access to care and improved health outcomes for our men and women who served. Leidos was recently named Washington Technology's number one government contractor in IT, systems integration, professional services, and telecommunications. For nearly 50 years, we have developed practical answers for a complicated world. To learn more, visit leidos.com.
We're speaking with VA Inspector General Michael Missel. So do they need more primary care panels, or do they need a better system of managing the ones they have?
Well, probably a little of both. So on managing the size of the panels, we again found issues. We reviewed 7 facilities and found 6 of the 7 had provider panels below the model expectations, ranging from 13 to 30% below. And there's a real cost to this, as by having smaller panels, VA is not fully utilizing primary care providers. VA paid about $1.3 billion for primary care providers in fiscal year 2015, and the lower panel sizes resulted in an estimated $169 million in underutilized provider salaries in fiscal year 2015. So one of our recommendations was that VA set panel sizes at their model goals or explain any deviations, if they just can't hire more providers, and they should properly track wait times. And VA concurred with these recommendations.
Well, getting back to that number of about 900 patients per primary care full-time equivalent, do you have any sense of how that compares with, say, large medical practices in the private sector?
I haven't looked at that to see, but clearly you're going to have large panels in the private sector as well. I just don't know the specific numbers.
I was just thinking, if a given panelist, you know, works 200 days a year and each of the patients under his or her care goes once a year on average. That's only four a day.
Correct.
See. So it seems like they're not overburdened with work.
VA's model says at least 1,000 to 1,400 is sort of the range of what they want, and VA has fallen far short in what our audit showed.
All right, and moving on to the final issue I wanted to ask you about, and that is opioids, because I know that VA is involved heavily in research, as is the Defense Department, on better and more efficacious ways of using these drugs such that they don't contribute to the national problem we're having. And you looked at something going back a couple of years where maybe opioid use wasn't managed so well.
Correct. We received a confidential complainant that an opioid treatment program at the Baltimore VA Medical Center did not ensure that patients received treatment planning and monthly counseling as required, and that patients died as a result. That was the allegation. As you point out, opioid use is a significant national problem, including at VA, and we've done significant work in this area. We substantiated that the opioid treatment program at the Baltimore VA Medical Center lacked effective quality controls necessary to ensure patients consistently receive required treatment planning and monthly counseling. We reviewed the electronic records of 272 patients enrolled in the program from October 1st to December 31st, 2015. Of these, 64 or 24% did not contain evidence of compliance with treatment planning requirements. Moreover, 183 or two-thirds did not contain evidence of attending at least 90% of required monthly counseling sessions. This occurred because counselors did not report to the treatment program, but rather to others in the medical center. That has now been changed. We also, because of the allegation of this causing death, we also conducted a clinical review of 39 patients who died after participating in the opioid treatment program during that time period. In none of the cases we examined could we establish a link between deficient counseling and the death.
All right, so they weren't killing people because of the counseling mismanagement, but nevertheless, they had to fix it.
They had to fix it, and they weren't getting the treatment that the policy called for. And obviously, this is such an important national issue, and I know it's a priority for VA. And so we made recommendations to ensure that they do follow their policies, and VA agreed to those recommendations.
Because I think the national trend on the use of opioids is not to, except only in the very acute beginning situation that is causing pain. And then there are many, many more sophisticated pain management techniques that should come in right away before you develop dependency.
Absolutely. And that's why it's a five-phase program that VA has, looking at counseling and other treatments as well to deal with the opioid issue.
VA Inspector General Michael Missel, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom. Great to be here.
You can find links to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Agency in Focus, Department of Veterans Affairs, sponsored by Leidos on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search Agency in Focus.
Leidos is proud to support the VA and its mission to care for Americans' veterans. Leidos is committed to advancing the next generation of healthcare at the VA through outcome-based solutions and scalable IT. We strive for better access to care and improved health outcomes for our men and women who served. Leidos was recently named Washington Technology's number one government contractor in IT, systems integration, professional services, and telecommunications. For nearly 50 years, we have developed practical answers for a complicated world. To learn more, visit leidos.com.